continuing in Bilvavi on page Kuf Ayin Vav. In the middle of the page, we're discussing the concept of Simcha B'Yisurim, rejoicing with your suffering. And we said this idea of Gilu Birada, to rejoice in trembling, is a two-way street. That not only does it mean that when you're in a state of Gila, when you're on the highest levels of joy and love of Hashem, that you should incorporate in that the highest levels of fear, meaning to say that you're worried you may not serve Hashem in the best way possible. It also goes the other way as well. Not only rejoice in suffering, but, you know, rejoice with trepidation, but when you're having trepidation, you should rejoice. You should have simcha in the situation where there is the suffering. And we're right in the middle of the page, in the middle of the paragraph, B'shosh Shabayim Al-Adim Yisurim. Right in the middle there. Let's pick it up again at the beginning of that paragraph, and we'll take it from there. B'shosh Shabayim Al-Adim Yisurim, when sufferings come to a person, Olav Lios V'mahalach Shal Sameach B'Yisurim, he should go with a pathway of having joy with the suffering. Hasimcha B'Yisurim, Enet Afke B'Yisur Aguf, Kichol Levchaev. It's not only a simcha when your mom is suffering physical pain in your body, but gamo avoda al yira sa'onesh, hayira atzma hi gufi yisurim l'adam. Even when you're working on developing a fear of punishment, that fear itself is a form of suffering, because you're causing worry and concern for yourself. V'gam sham nisra asimcha v'yisurim, and there too you also need to have joy with the suffering of this fear of the impending punishment. Because you should be happy, because this Yisurim will help us do tshuva and bring a tikkun for us. So, im yeshnam Yisurim b'li mahalach shel simcha, if there is suffering without a pathway of simcha, tzalem chasra la'adam ikar anakuda hapnimi shel ha-Yisurim. The person is missing the primary inner point of what the suffering came for. That's a big line. If you're not having simcha in your Yisurim, basically, the Yisurim's a waste of time. And all you get is suffering. That's it. In other words, if Hashem sent it to you, it can only be good. It's meant to bring some kind of improvement for you. And if you're fighting it, and you're angry at Hashem over it, then you're missing the main point of the Yisurim. The Yisurim is supposed to bring you closer to Hashem. And nothing can bring you closer to Hashem, not even a mitzvah, if you're not happy when you're doing it. Just like, as we'll see shortly, when you're doing a mitzvah, and you're doing it because you have to, and you don't want to do it, that mitzvah is not bringing you closer to God. If anything, it's probably distancing you from God, because you're developing a resentment towards that mitzvah and that God that's making you do that mitzvah. If you're keeping Shabbos because you have to, not because you want to, then you, back in your mind, you're upset. Why is God giving you this thing to do? Okay, you got to do it. He's the boss, but I don't want to be so close to him. So the same, that's rule with every mitzvah. The truth is a rule with everything God does to us in this world. So if he gives us Yisurim, he gives us suffering, this suffering is meant to get us closer to him. And if we're not besimcha, we ain't going to get closer to him. Let's just finish the paragraph, then I'll take your question. Although even when you're not that happy, there is a certain amount of cleansing that happens when Yisurim happen. But the main cleansing, you lose out. You don't have simcha that Yisurim. The main cleansing is to ultimately get you to attach yourself to God. So maybe God cleans out some of the rust in the system, but the closeness is not happening. And that's what has to happen with Yisurim. Yes, sir?
Just the comment you made about the I understand with the mitzvot, if you're doing it because you have to versus you want to. But several times you've talked about that if you do something, let's say if you have a choice of whether you're commanded to do something versus you're not commanded, but you want to do it anyways, right? Because you just love
right.
doing it.
Right.
So isn't it a higher level to do things, at least at the beginning, because you're commanded to do it, and you're doing it, whether you want to or not?
Is it a higher level to do what?
No, to do any mitzvah.
Because you're commanded.
Yeah, just yes, like, that know, is. Whether you like it, whether you don't. Obviously, you're going to get close.
There's a higher level. Let's put it this way. It's three points. The highest level is to do it because you're commanded to do it, and you like doing it.
Right?
Right? I don't know if the next level is do it and you don't like doing it.
But that's how you start.
I understand. But, okay, start. But it's not necessarily, really, I wouldn't introduce a mitzvah to a child with him not liking to do it, even as a start. I wouldn't. If he's not, let's put it this way. A child naturally has a good neshama. So, you know, if you're going to have his first experience with a mitzvah being an unpleasant one, I don't see how it's ever going to be pleasant. I can't see it ever being pleasant. It's the first time he's encountering the mitzvah. It's an unpleasant experience. How is he going to enjoy that mitzvah? You know, so the parent has to be clever to know. And the truth is, if he doesn't watch TV and isn't in the world of mishigas, then the mitzvahs will be enjoyable. But when he has every mishigas in the world, and then there's a mitzvah coming up, then he's not going to want to do the mitzvah, right? But you know, you tell any kid, you know, let's learn Torah. A kid who's 3, 4, 5 years old, of course, wants to learn Torah with his Abba or Ima. He's going to like it, right? But so, you know, at least when the person's a child, when you're an adult, okay, sometimes you know it's the right thing to do even though you don't want to do it. Okay, give mechila to somebody. You can say, no, I'm never going to give mechila until I enjoy doing it. You know, we can't do that. But you really shouldn't opt for this idea of, well, I'm going to do mitzvahs even though I don't like them because maybe one day I will like them. It's not such a great mahalach. I don't know if the person really doesn't want to do it, then he's probably not ready to do it. If he's not ready to do it, it's better he shouldn't do it. Because in the long run, you'll suffer. If you start doing mitzvahs because you don't like doing them, when you don't like doing them, I don't see how you're going to ever like doing them. There's got to be at least some buy-in, some wanting to do it. If there's no wanting to do it, I can't see a person, you know, maintaining it. It's very hard. It's very hard. Okay, let's continue. Adam shlo hergo me'odo lichios besimcha imisurim. If a person has never been trained from the beginning to live with simcha, with suffering, he doesn't even know the concept. And all of a sudden, Yisurim come one after the other. It's very hard for him to feel any kind of simcha. Again, especially in our generation. Why? Because we can't take even the slightest pain. You know? For example, in the summer, the air conditioning goes off, you're finished. You're finished. And your kids are twice as finished. Right? In the beginning of May, it gets a little warm, the kids say, I can't breathe, put the air conditioning on. It's only 18 degrees outside. They can't live without the air conditioning. You mamish can't handle it. Right? You know, our children, generally speaking, don't know what Yisurim are. And really, they're, because they're catered to everything they want. They don't know what it means to go one day without supper. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. And in Europe, kids knew. Today, there ain't no supper today. Abba didn't have any money. There's no supper. Let's say some to him. You know, or if you had supper, what'd you have already? Here, the kid comes in to supper. You know, I don't like this. You know, makes spaghetti meatballs. I don't like this. There's nothing to eat in the house. Opens up the fridge. There's a full stacked fridge. There's nothing to eat in the house. And they look at you accusingly as, what kind of chef are you that you can't make a meal that's fit for the king? You know? So if you're a smart parent, you say, then don't eat tonight. The stupid parent makes the kid whatever he wants. Makes whatever the kid wants to reinforce his nobility in the house. Right? So what's happening with our children, God forbid, is that they are being set up for the worst possible yisurim. Because they won't be able to take any at all. Right? And, you know, if Chas v'Shalom, a 12-year-old, has been so disappointed by his parents and so mistreated that they have not yet taken him to Disney World by the time he is 12, right? You know, then the kid's suffering. All the other kids go to Disney World during the winter vacation. How come we're not going? What's the matter? Right? So, you know, what are they going to do? What are our kids going to do when real suffering is going to come along? What are they going to do when a real recession comes along? See, you know, it's interesting, this whole recession, all this, people are complaining. I still see people driving cars. I still see people wasting food. I still see people buying tickets to World Series games. I still see everyone's having everything they want and more. And they're complaining. Now, can you imagine if a real recession meant to say that, you know, you only could have so much? You know, it would be momish. It would be like they think it's a depression. If you came to Sobeys and all there was to buy was meat, fish, eggs, bread, butter, and milk, I think people would start committing suicide. How can we live this way? How can we live this way? I can't live on bread and meat and fish. Where's my coffee? You can imagine, Chas v'Shalom, there's no coffee. There's no coffee. The world's coming to an end. You know, now can you imagine, Chas v'Shalom, a real recession, a real depression came? People would commit suicide. They commit suicide left and right. They couldn't live without having anything. So the point I'm trying to make here is we're not even capable of dealing with the smallest problem. Can you imagine when God sends a person Yisurim? He can't handle it at all. That's why all the tzaddikim said, we're the weakest of all generations that have ever lived. And you see how Hashem is setting it all up. Setting it up, making us so pampered and so spoiled, and we go for the whole thing. We can't live without anything. You know how the next scenes are going to have to play out. That there's going to be real. Not since the Depression. I'm saying not since the Depression, we haven't seen anything like this. We haven't seen anything close. And it's like such a terrible thing. It's like, you know, it's happened, but they never had such affluence. In Spain, they never had this kind of affluence. Affluence 500 years ago, they didn't have running water in the house. You don't understand what's going to happen when you have to go out to the backyard in December to take care of yourself. People would rather die. Then people, it's gonna. Hashem's setting it all up. He's setting it up. You're leading a life that's so gashmius. So you know, obviously, it's going to be a point where Hashem's going to stop it, and that's going to be the Yisurim. God's not going to have to bring nuclear war. People are going to die from the fact they have to have bread and butter every day. They'll murder each other over the fact that they can't have chocolate bars. You know, you're going to see that. You'll see that's what's going to happen. So anyway, so people aren't even prepared to deal with any Yisurim in their lives. And that's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. That is part of life. That is part of life. So Adam, yeah, so where am I now? So what is the service of Hashem? Ha'avodahi. The service of Hashem, Eifo, sha'od lifnei sha'magibol of Yisurim, before suffering comes to you. Lifnei sha'nigash la'avoda, al yirasa onesh. Before you come to the service of fear of punishment, yichanes lemahalach shalavoda shilir sonish besimcha. Start a pathway of fearing punishment with simcha, with joy. If to start thinking about the idea, and that's what he's going to explain exactly how he's going to do this. But you have to think about Gehenim and think about potential sufferings as something that would really be good for you if it came. Visualize, you know, if God would do this, why this would be the best thing for me, but what it would be better even to do things that I wouldn't have to come to this. That's all he's going to explain shortly. But he begins with another prayer. Yedabrim b'ri elim, so therefore speak to Hashem and daventim v'yomilei and say to him, Nasat lizmani godlos, nasat lizmani katlos. You've given me in my life times of greatness and times of smallness. When you're giving me good times and I'm feeling big, then that's my time to serve you, looking at your glorious nature and serve you on the higher levels of Yiras Hashem. And then I'm certainly happy when I'm doing well and my davening is good and my learning is good and things are going well and I'm at the top of my game and I'm saying, oh, you know, maybe I could even do a little better. Then I'm certainly happy. Things are going well. So that's not so much of a challenge. Even though the truth is there is certain challenges there. But anyway. But bisman katnus, but when I'm in a small zone, Ritzon chashevah roscha im yirasonish. You want me to work with basic fear of punishment. Okay, that's what you want. Rabbeinu shalom Hashem. Kishem shadiani shiritzon chayisbarach shevah roscha bismana gadlus biyiras areimim usukadoimu. V'yesh simcha mech yisbarach. Just like when I work on my higher level of service, that's when there's simcha. Kach borli, it's clear to me. Sheishcha nachas ruach gamei havoda b'katnas im yirasonish. I also know that you get pleasure out of my working on my smaller avoda of the fear of punishment. And therefore makes, I should have simcha working on that as well. So when you're working on this year, you don't wait until an avera is at the doorstep and then you start to work on your onesh. It isn't in your arsenal. So you gotta work on it, today, when you have a few spare minutes, think about it. Think about what does it mean to get punished for a sin that you do. Walk through it. Visualize. You know, as we already explained, I could steal this from somebody. Why do I not steal it from him? Because then God would have to punish me for this. What does all that mean? He'll explain this all. But this should all be done with simcha now, so that in case, chas v'shalom, the yisurim happened, but it always happened. Everybody has yisurim. There's no such thing, even the smallest yisurim. Right? The fact you get a parking ticket. Right? You know, my wife had to go somewhere, a shepherd, an avenue, strange territory for us. Right? So she had to go somewhere and she bought a parking ticket, and then the thing took longer. She went back a second time to add money, but the second time she took the ticket with her in the pocket and didn't leave it in the dash.
Ooh.
You know, she's on a rush. Just play, take the ticket and take it with you. And then she goes back an hour later to put more money in, sees a ticket. Right? That's Yisurim. That's Yisurim. You know? And you should be besimcha. You should be besimcha. Right? That okay, so it's $30. It's a kapara. That's all, you know, but there's people, many people, it just ruins their day. You know, I paid and I got the ticket. It's like the worst thing, right? But there's always going to be a serve. So you got to learn to be happy. Things don't work out. You know, even I give a class and the material, you know, I mistakenly asked for the wrong material. So now I got the wrong handout to give out to people in the class. So I have to be the simcha. The same way, I say that's what you want. You want it not. You wanted that the one shouldn't be there. I thought I had the right one, or this or that, or miscarriage, whatever it is. So I got the wrong one. So instead of saying, how can I give the class? The class isn't going to work. So I said, you know what? Hashem obviously did not want people to have a handout in this class. Somehow they're going to learn better, or they're not zocha for it, or whatever it is. There's some reason why it's better for you not to have it. And it should be the simcha, or whatever. We have to learn to develop that. Yeah.
I was going to say, rather than focusing on the punishment, if I do this, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The ultimate, what you just illustrated, the ultimate focus really is on God's running the show, and whatever comes to you, that's what you have to be aware of, is that God is the one, when you're forgetting the sheets, or you're getting the parking ticket, or you're ill today, that you have to focus that God is the one sending it to you.
That's true. But this is the point he's saying here is what's going to stop you from doing an aver when you're in the heat of passion? That's what this whole thing's all about here. What's going to stop you when, you know what, that person pushed your button?
Right.
You know, and that's it. You pushed my button, I'm going to kill him. You know, and the Lashon Hara is going to start flying, right? Okay, now what's going to stop you? Whatever Hashem does for the best. you're not ready to hear that.
Right.
You're not ready to hear that.
So you have to have in your arsenal.
You got to say one thing. I don't want to get cancer. That's it. I don't want to go to hell. And you visualized what that would mean. Okay? And I still want to speak to Lashon Hara. I couldn't care less about Hashem right now, but I don't want him to punish me. That's the lowest level, but at least it'll work. Hopefully it'll be a little higher than that. But you realize, you know, then that too is going to be for the best. If I'm going to speak Lashon Hara, then the best thing is I'm going to have to suffer. Hold on. I don't know, and maybe I can try another way, that something else will come for the best. Which leads us to the next topic on page Kuf Ayin Zayin, within this topic. Yeshnan be'etzem shtei bechinas bir. There really are essentially two aspects of fear. Kisharam yare midavar. There's one kind of fear that when you're afraid of something, you run away from it. For example, Adam Yare Mikelov, you're afraid of a dog. You run to the other side of the street. So Yira Malida Richu. That's the type of Yira that breeds a distancing. I mentioned this before, but now he's saying it's straight out. In other words, the natural instinct for a human being is to run away from things that we don't want to deal with or to do. So we avoid doing, you know, so the dog, I don't like the dog, he looks ferocious, so I'm going to stay away from that dog, right? But there's more than that. There's a lot of things that we're afraid to do as well, and so therefore when there is a fear, that causes a distancing on any level. You know, I'm sure there are certain guys who don't go to the minyan, not because they wouldn't want to go to the minyan, but they don't know how to put tefillin on in front of people. And they'd rather not look clumsy putting on tefillin in front of people who they think, oh, you don't know how to put on tefillin. We thought for sure you'd know how to put tefillin on. Right? He's been around here 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But you know what? Epis, he never got into the tefillin mode. And he just can't come into the shul, look like a ignorant person. Not even have chasson to ask somebody for help. You know, that's such a painful situation. You want to avoid it. How do you avoid it? I got to be at work early. Got to be at work early. I know we have people like that in our shul. I feel sorry for them. Yeah, but I can't go over to them. Okay, do you want me to teach? You know, you have to be careful that you get insulted and this and that. So you daven to Hashem that something's going to happen. But we're always, things that give us pain, we go away from. That's one kind of Yira. Therefore, let's talk what we're dealing with here. If you're afraid of Gehenim because Gehenim itself is bad, it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful. So I'm afraid of it. That's not what we're looking for. Why? Because Areu Minutuk by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is separating you from Hashem. Ki Mefachid Megehenim Velo Mekodesh Baruch Hu, you're afraid of Gehenim, but not from Hashem. Right? All of Leo's Yorei Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu, you have to be afraid from Hashem Shemanish B'Gehenim, that's going to punish us in Gehenim, V'lo Me'etzem Gehenim, but not from the essential Gehenim. It's not the Gehenim so much, but it's Hashem who is going to be the one running Gehenim. Yirah Me'Gehenim Atzmo, just fear of Gehenim alone, Mahava Ma'aseh Shel Richuk Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu, it's going to create a result of distancing you from Hashem, because Adam Mefached Ma'apu'ulos, because the person is afraid of something happening, but not from Hashem. Now, I know you're thinking, but if he thinks about Hashem, he'll want to run away from Hashem too, so hold on. If you're afraid from the Gehenim, but also from the one who's punishing you, making the Gehenim, then perhaps also it can cause to bring in the soul of the person a distancing from Hashem. Is afraid from Hashem also. Just like you're afraid from the dog, you run away from it. You're also going to be afraid of Hashem. So far, we haven't found the good way yet. If you're afraid of Gehenim alone, you're going to run away from it. You're afraid even from Hashem. So we're going to see, just give me a little few more lines. He'll explain this. And if he doesn't say it enough, I'll add from what he said in the first book. But, you know, in other words, here's the contradiction. How can Yiras Ha'onesh from Hashem bring me close to him if I naturally resist wanting to be close to things that give me pain? That's what we saw in last week's parsha about Marisha. Shachar shechot avachom etzadas, after he sinned and ate from the tree of knowledge, v'shama shekodesh baruch hu makare, miskarven, he hears Hashem is coming. Who pashed his chab in front of, he simply, what did he do? He hid. He hid from him. Because of the fear of the consequences which God would be bringing. Right? And many of us, you know, hide things from other people that we know, and we lead double lives, and we, you know, we just stay, we don't mention these things, and nobody really feels good about this. So now, kan misgala nekuda shus chet betzur she'en l'chona, we have so far revealed to you the point of fear of sin in a not good fashion. This is not the way you're supposed to develop this. And most Jews who even work on this is the way they're working on it. The simple fear of the sin, holy boas harotzim lischavim that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings forth the desire to hide from Hashem. Zu ena nagamidis. This is not the true way to go, and that's, you know, again, I prepared this all in the summer, so that was the challenge of Elul, you know, looking at our averas, you know. Being afraid of the consequences, but wait a minute, if that's what we're doing in Elul, how could the month of El be Anila Dodi Vidodi Li. I am to my beloved is to me. Right? So, you know, what's going on? That's the problem. You know, these are called Yomim Noroim, the days of awe. But how am I going to feel comfortable with Hashem? So people have the old-fashioned form of Yiras Onesh. You know, High Holidays never really speaks to you, or rather scares you away. You know, the rabbis with the fire and brimstone on Yom Kippur, you sinners, you only come 3 times a year, God's going to really give it to you. They'll say, you know what, better not to come 3 times a year. Well, I need to hear that. Right? Or even a person working, you know, you say, I gotta do tshuva, and God's gonna let me have it, you know, maybe I just shouldn't think about this at all. So that's the challenge. So now, so what's the right way? I don't know if we'll finish this, we'll have a few more minutes. Surah Sanhaga Midisi, but the right way of this, if you know that the actual fear is the Ratzon Hashem, he knows that by doing this, he is doing the will of Hashem. See, if you realize that I'm learning to be afraid of the punishment because that's what Hashem wants me to do. And this is a mitzvah. So if this is a mitzvah, then by definition, nimtzesha yira hi mitzvah, if yira is a mitzvah and I understand it as a mitzvah, then what do we know the root of the word mitzvah is? Safta, it means a connection, something that's bound together. Right? Ima Kadosh Baruch Hu with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And that's what he says is a very difficult thing that for a person to develop. But as he said in the previous book, he said, you think about this, you think about, you know, there's a Gehenim, yes. Who runs Gehenim? Hashem runs Gehenim. Why does Hashem run Gehenim? Hashem runs Gehenim that if I do foolish things and I sin, He has to clean me out. Do I think Hashem really wants to do this? No, Hashem really doesn't want to do this because Hashem loves me like a father loves me. Do you think a father enjoys punishing a child? No, he doesn't. Why is he doing only for my best interest? So guess what? Maybe I should be smart. Why should I have Hashem suffer and have to punish me? Maybe I shouldn't do the Avera, and that way He doesn't have to punish me. Now, if you think about it that way, then you say, you know what? I'd rather not do the Avera. And then you feel closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you realize that that's why the only reason there is Gehenna is because I'm an idiot. So I should have Rachmonis on myself. And Hashem doesn't want to hurt me. Hashem wants to help me. But you know what? He'll help me. If I'm a good boy, He'll help me in nicer ways. If I'm a bad boy, He has to help me in ways that are going to hurt me. So why do I want to come onto the way of being hurt? Oy, why do I want to make Hashem go through this? So then you feel, you know, you get these warm, fuzzy feelings for Hashem. And say, oh yeah, it's better not to do that. And as you're working on cultivating a vision of what Gehenna is like and what suffering be like, so as you're working on it, you say, oh, and you think Hashem's going to like doing this? You know, I mean, if you love your parents, if you really love your parents, you know, you don't want to do things that they're going to have to do that they're not going to want to do. Now, as a child, it's hard to understand, but as a 30 or 40-year-old, maybe you can understand it. What do I have to give him such aggravation that he's going to have to discipline me? You know, it's not good for him, it's not good for me. And I do love Hashem, and Hashem does love me. So how about if I just don't, I make up, I won't do an Avera when the Avera comes my way. Now that is a warmer feeling, and that will make you feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not going to distance you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And more than that, this is a mitzvah. And by definition, if it's a mitzvah, then this is something that should get me closer to Hashem.